God is good, amen? Praise the Lord. He's able to do far more abundantly all that we can ask or think or even believe or even understanding, you know. It's beyond us. Praise his wonderful name. I want to speak to you today on something that is really very close to my heart. It's been close to my heart ever since Jesus found me, which is just a few years. 50-odd years now since he found me. I didn't find him because I wasn't looking for him. He found me. You know, I hear people say, oh, I found Jesus. No, you didn't. You weren't even looking for him, were you? But he found you. And that's the great thing, that Jesus goes looking for us. He's looking for us each day of our lives. And he's looking for the lost, that they might find him and know him as Lord and Savior of their lives. Amen? He's even looking, you know, he said, suffer the little children to come unto me. Don't forbid them. Unless you become as little children, you will not find the kingdom of God. You'll not see it. Amazing, isn't it? I get props come all the time. You know, I can use anything. Bless her. She's lovely. Edie. I want to speak. The subject that's on my heart is his healing. By his stripes, we were healed. So from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. So they've entitled it, By His Stripes We Were Healed. Amen. It's a finished, complete work. Praise God. And he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds we were healed. It is not about going to be healed. Because the word says that it's a finished work. It's already done. So many people say, no, I'm waiting on God to heal me. No, 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 no. He's waiting on you to come to that place of an understanding that it's already a completed work. It's done right now. And you and I need to begin to enter into that complete work. Today, you are saved. Praise God. Tomorrow you may sin, but you're still saved. It's a completed work. It's a finished work, and that salvation, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for all our sins, for all our sicknesses, for all our diseases, emotionally, spiritually, physically, everything was done at the cross. There was nothing left undone. Hallelujah. It was and is a completed work. And we can rejoice in that completed work, can't we? God is so good to us. And so it is not a past tense, but it is a present day promise. It's a promise. It's a promise that was made 2,000 years ago. And the promise was made, and the promise will remain and be fulfilled. Yeah. Hallelujah. It is not something that we're waiting for to come to us. It is already here. And we need to learn to live in the promises of God today. His promises are true. His promises are forever. And our God is faithful to every promise that He has ever made. Now, who's ever made a promise? Yeah. Who's ever broken a promise? Yeah, there you go. Do you know something? I'll guarantee that God's hand never came up on that last one. God made a promise, and He keeps His promises. He is faithful in every way to keep His promises. He's faithful to the end. Amen. And just remember that. So the promise was historical, but it is also present, and it is also future. Amen. Praise God. Don't worry about what's going on. It's historical. It's past tense. It's present. Today. The promises of God are for today, but also they are for tomorrow. Because the Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He is faithful. His promises are true. Glory to God. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus paid that price. Thank God. What price was that, Andrew? The price for my sins, for your sins, for my sicknesses, for your sicknesses, for my diseases, for your diseases, for my emotional difficulties, for your emotional difficulties. Why? Because God so loved the world that He gave, He sent His only precious Son, Jesus, to die upon that cross, that I and that you might have that forgiveness, that healing, that restoration in our lives in such a wonderful way. Because everything that God is doing, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. The center of God's universe is the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not the center of God's universe. So, sorry to disappoint you. If I've just let you down, you are not the center. But the thing we can do is we can move to the very center of God's universe. And then we will be part of that center of God's universe. Suddenly you become the center of all things in God. Why? Because you're putting Him first. Jesus Christ. First. Above all things. It is a policy that I have adopted in my life. Christ first. Seek Him. You know, we shared that scripture, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. And the King James and all the other translations didn't quite get it right. It says, seek ye first the kingdom. No, it should be, seek ye first the King. Yeah, we're not looking for a kingdom. Anybody can live in a kingdom, but I want to know the one who rules and reigns in the kingdom. Because when I know Him who rules and reigns in the kingdom, I receive the rightful rights of the kingdom. So it should be, seek ye first the King, Jesus, of the kingdom of God, and all this, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto me, added unto you. Hallelujah. So everything revolves about around the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so through Christ we have many, many blessings that we can begin to receive and begin to act upon, to begin to live in and to flow in. You see, we have to connect. We have to connect with God. We have to connect with Jesus. We have to submit ourselves to His authority. We have to take His word into our lives. Now, submission is not a word that we like. But it's in the Word. It's in the book. It talks about submitting to one another. Having love for one another. Honouring one another. But you know, first we need to submit to Christ. And as we submit to Christ and we allow him to become the Lord of our life, and that is not easy. Some of us like to think we're the boss. Some of us like to think we're in charge of everything. But let me tell you this, when crisis hits us, we suddenly find out we are no longer in control. We suddenly find out that really, we're not as clever, we're not as powerful as what we thought we were. You see, God uses the weak things of this world to confound those who think they're powerful. God uses the foolish things in this world to confound them that think they're smart and educated beyond all knowledge and wisdom and understanding. God used an ass one time to speak to his prophet because his prophet wouldn't listen. Yeah? God wants to do a great work in these days. But guess what? He needs people who are willing to follow. He needs people who have a passion and a desire for the Word of God, to obey the Word and to act upon the Word and to flow in that Word. And as we say, yes, Lord, you know, and sometimes we say, yes, Lord, what do you want me to do? And you don't know what to do. You just follow the move of the Spirit. And together we need to begin to flow in that realm of the Spirit. We don't flow in the head knowledge. You don't have enough capacity within your brain to contain 1% of God and the wisdom of God. So we have to flow in the Spirit, which is constantly connected to the throne room of God. Constantly connected. And so as we move around, you know, God doesn't need a mobile phone. He sent the Holy Spirit. He doesn't, you know, it's faster than G4. Or 4G, should I say, isn't it? Yeah, it's 4G. They're coming out with 5G now, aren't they? Such a thing. Yeah, yeah. Well, guess what? God's still faster than all of that. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, God can speak. God can act. Just we need to be on the right frequency. We need to get on the right wavelength. We need to get onto the right service. You know, who's your service provider? O2? 4G? You know, 3G or whatever? You know, EE? No. The Holy Spirit. Let him be your service provider. I tell you, and I know this, that the Holy Spirit will tell you things that have been whispered in heaven, in the very throne room of God, about your circumstance, your situation. That's what he's there for to do. And in that moment of, in a twinkling of an eye, he can reveal to you all that is needed. This is my God. This is my Jesus. This is what Jesus has purchased for you and for me. The ability to hear what's going on in the throne room. To hear the voice of God. That God would move in great power and might. But so often many of us, well, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. If we want that fullness of God, there are certain things that we need to learn to comply to, fulfill in our lives. See, God is calling not for people just to give their lives to Christ, but he's calling for people to be disciplined followers of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a disciple is. To be a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm passionate about it. I've been practicing it for years, and there are some times I don't get it right. You mean you're not perfect? No. Are you? Because if you were, you wouldn't be here. God would have taken you up and gone. I'm work in progress. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm work in progress. You need to forgive me. You need to forgive me when I make a mistake. You know, I'm work in progress. Yeah, whoever, yeah. God forgives everybody. We're work in progress. And as long as we stay in progress, that's okay. The moment we step out of it, we move into rebellion. And let's have a look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1. And this is the word of God to the people. And he says, now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all he commands you, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations. Hallelujah. We are set to be in a high position. Amen. The Bible is calling us to rule and reign. Right? Now, first of all, we need to be ruling and reigning spiritually, in the spiritual dimension, within our own lives. Don't try and rule somebody else if you're not ruling your own house. Hello? Most folk try and rule somebody else because they can't rule themselves. Hello? The most challenging person to rule and to reign over is yourself. You know, Paul says, you know, that it talks in Scripture about feeding the spirit man and crucifying the flesh. You know, some days we have to get up and do some crucifying. Crucified again. You know, the media challenges all the time. Constantly flashing images coming before us, and it's to bring temptation. And we have to challenge that. We have to stand against it. And I love Deuteronomy where we read through the next 13 verses basically. It says, blessed shall your offspring be, blessed shall your basket be, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated. Amen. These are the promises of God. This is though, as we follow God wholeheartedly, as we say, I will not let you go. I will not let you go. And so we hold on with such a passion. And as you read through, and you know, prosperity and blessings into your life, a house that is full, a good storehouse. We need a good storehouse. Do you know why we need a good storehouse? So we can bless other people. You see, we need to be blessed to be a blessing. I want to be abundantly blessed so I can bless others. I love to bless others. I love the opportunity of blessing people and seeing their faces and hearing of what the results of the blessings, of seeing more souls saved because I blessed somebody else. I'm here to be a blessing. Hallelujah. It's not to keep it to ourselves. You know, I used to have dreams at one time. I dreamt I wanted a Ferrari. I dreamt many times. I'm being honest with you. You know, oh, Ferrari. I'd love a Ferrari. I think one day I was that close to buying a second-hand Ferrari. I was so, this is when I was working in industry. And it's like, yes. And I had, I think, over the years, I've had sort of three opportunities to have these, like, sports car days. And I remember one time I went out in a Ferrari around this track. And we have a photograph of this one. And I got out of this Ferrari. And I'll tell you, I had a grin that went all the way from ear to ear. I mean, it was like, yes, I'd been in one or two, and he was like, yes, that is the best one. Yes, yes. Oh, I mean, I'm like, oh, what a gift. You know, I just look, I'm a speed freak anyway, so, but, and it's like, oh, you know. But I realise the passing fancies. I realise that with what God has given me, I can do much more in the kingdom. And I can still be happy and happier than what I would be with a Ferrari. But if anybody decided to turn up and said, I'd like to donate you a Ferrari, I'd say, okay, yeah, I'll be fine. Yeah, fine. I'll have it for a few weeks and that, but I'd probably then sell it and give the money away to something else. Yeah. Praise God. So here we are. We see the blessings of God, and God wants to bless you. Who believes God wants to bless me and bless you? You believe God? Say, I believe God wants to bless me. And again, I believe God wants to bless me. Hallelujah. You see, we've got to deal with doubts. Now, if you want to be blessed for the wrong reason, yeah, you can't fool God. Because it says He sees your heart. Not just listens to your lips, but He sees what's in your heart. Let's move back into Deuteronomy 28. And we move to verse 15. And it says in verse 15 there, it says, but it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe, to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then from verse 16 right through to verse 57 are the curses. Wow. Because you see, when we move ourselves out of the protection of God, when we step out of His covering, when we embrace evil, when we embrace wicked thoughts, and we step ourselves out of God's protection and God's covering, you see, the Word of God builds a strong tower around us. It protects us, you see, and we are protected by the presence of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But if you step out of that, then you leave yourself open to the wiles of the devil. Well, that's right. Yeah, there's that scripture in the Old Testament that says, if you break through a hedge, it's in Proverbs, isn't it? You know, Ecclesiastes, if you break through a hedge, he says, a serpent will bite you. Who's the serpent? The devil. Don't break through your hedge of protection. The moment you do that, the devil will try and grab hold of you and cause some harm to you. You see, Jesus said in John 10 and 10, He says, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. But prior to that, He says the devil came to steal, to kill, to destroy. And if you stop there, you've lost. But Jesus says, but, hey, come on, there's a but there. Hey? He says, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. You know, not just a bit of life. You know, life full, hallelujah, full of energy, full of vigor. Overflowing, functioning life that, you know, you just, you don't feel 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever you are. You don't feel it because there is a power source. There's an energy from the Spirit of God. Caleb was climbing mountains at 85. Glory to God. There's still time yet. Come on, you can be a mountain climber in God. Glory to God. We will get to that. By His stripes we are healed. But you know, it's all of this. It's everything that's going on. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 28 and look at the verse 58. And it says this: if you are not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book, to fear this to fear this honored and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues and miserable and chronic diseases, and he will bring back you all these diseases of Egypt which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. You know, God is warning his people. You know, these people were chosen. These people have been protected. They have been delivered from the imprisonment of 400 years. And he's saying, worship me. You know, it is so easy to lose sight of God's blessings over our lives. It is so easy to forget what God has done for us. You know, we get a little bit of a trial comes along and we forget about all the blessings that God has done for us. We forget about all that God really means to us. And we lose sight, and that's when the enemy begins to move against us. You know, it tells us, rehearse these things. What you do, you are reminding yourself of God's blessing. You are reminding yourself of the promises of God. Today, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, we are redeemed from the curse, hallelujah, of the law. You know, thank God for His grace and for His mercy and for His goodness towards us that brings us that redemption through Christ Jesus. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become the curse. Yeah. He became you. He became me. We were the curse. We're the ones who were going to be punished. And we rightly deserve it. But Christ became you and me. He took my curse. He took your curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So no longer are we cursed. Jesus was blessed. We are not the cursed anymore. We're the ones who are now the blessed. And the people who should carry the blessing. The people who should bring the blessing to the world outside and around us and let them see the Christ, the Son of the living God. We are the people. Look at your neighbor and say, you are the one that has chosen to bless people. You are the one who has chosen to bless people. You see, the Bible says that we are a chosen generation. Come on, I'm not misquoting Scripture, but I'm just helping you think from another angle. So, if we are a chosen generation, what are we chosen for? We are chosen for a blessing, to be a blessing, to bless others, to be the hand of God, to be the mouth of God, to be the one who touches lives and changes lives in the name of Jesus. Yes, that's what we're called for. Praise God. You're not called just to sit in a chair. You're not called just to come here on a Sunday at 3 o'clock and on a Wednesday, and then that's it, you've done your bit. No, it's 24/7. 24/7. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Hallelujah. And everything that I do, praise God. You brought your blanket? Come on then, darling. You want to sit down and just sit on here? That's right. You sit on here. Let's put your blanket on here. There you go. That's it. You'll listen there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where do we get? Isaiah. Isaiah 53. Praise the Lord. Verse 4, 5 and 6. This was spoken 700 years before Jesus was physically born. Whoa. This guy Isaiah was listening to the Holy Spirit, who was telling him what God was saying in the very throne room. Wow. 700 years before it happened. And he says, surely our griefs Jesus himself bore, and our sorrows Jesus carried. Yet we ourselves esteem Jesus smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for my transgressions. Jesus was crushed for my iniquities. He was chastised for my well-being. And his scourging for my healing. Yes, his scourging for my healing. All we like sheep have gone astray. There's a stronger word for that. All we like sheep have rebelled. We've become goats. We've gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be able to turn back to him and to know his power and his presence in our lives. And so today, there is that calling into our lives to draw closer. There's that calling in our lives for a greater empowerment, because Jesus has done it all for us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 20. And there's a woman there, and she realizes that Jesus has done it all. This woman with the issue of blood, she'd spent everything that she had. She'd exhausted all her finances. She'd exhausted all the doctors around, and nobody could give her the answer. Nobody could minister and give her life. She was dying right there in front of everybody's eyes. And she heard of Jesus, and she began to pursue Jesus. This is something we need to do. Pursue Jesus. And in her pursuing of Jesus in the crowd, I can't imagine, there's a crowd of people. You see it on TV in these days when they get together and they get so excited, the people, and they're pushing and shoving, and nobody can get through. And Jesus was pressing through the crowd, and everybody's reaching out to touch him. Let me touch Jesus. Let me touch Jesus. And as Jesus is moving through this crowd, suddenly, this woman, she begins to push and push. You know, she's had this issue for 12 years. And she's pushed and she's pushed. Glory to God. And she's reaching out to Jesus. You know, she's so weak that at points of time, she's actually on her knees crawling through the crowd. Picture this. Think about this. She's in the dirt. But she's desperate. She's desperate to find and get close to Jesus. And it says that finally she finds a way through. She gets through, and it says she touches the edge of his garment. And Jesus suddenly stops and says, "Whoa, who touched me?" Can you imagine Peter? "Oh, come on, Jesus. Give us a break. You know, everybody is reaching out to touch you. Everybody is pressing and touching you. Everybody's touched you." He says, "No, no, 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 no. Somebody has touched me." You see, the others were touching him out of a sense of reality. She touched him out of a sense of faith. Her faith. Her faith. She said, "If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed." There was no doubt in her mind. There was no doubt in her mind. There was a desperation in her life. How desperate are you for the things of God? She was hungering and thirsting for these things, her healing. And she pressed through, and it was like, "Nothing, nothing, nothing, nothing is going to stop me getting through." Amen. And so she pressed and pressed until she touched the hem of his garment. You know, we need to get to that point in our own lives. But nothing is going to stop us from getting God's best. Nothing is going to stand in the way of getting God's best. You have to be that determined. You have to be that stubborn. There's a right form of stubbornness and there's a wrong form of stubbornness. We have to be so desiring the things of God that nothing will get in our way. The crowd will not get in my way. The opinions of others that are going in the other direction are not going to stop me coming into his presence and touching the very hem of his garment. Let me share this with you. In a previous church that we were in, Grace and I were youth leaders for 15 years. And we started taking our young people away for weekends. We used to do it about 3-4 times a year. And we always got to a point where when we spent that weekend together, we would spend such a presence of the power of God. And one time we did a week and we went out onto... can't remember the name of the place now. Skendleby, out in Lincolnshire. Went to this old house. Went to Skendleby there. And the presence of God in our meeting began to turn up in such a powerful way that we'd not really experienced before. The power of God was moving through our services. And I remember one time we were just worshipping the Lord, and the power of God just came down and people were just going out. Chairs were all over the place. Nobody had touched anybody. There had been somebody in the meeting, one of the young people who'd been playing with the Ouija board. He was about climbing the wall. He actually managed to get out through the doorway and went off screaming, and we didn't see him till the next day. Because of such of the presence and the power of God that was prevalent in the meeting. And one of the meetings, I remember the presence of God, we were just worshipping, and I felt the presence of God coming down again, and I thought, "Put your guitar down." And I put my guitar down, and the next thing I was on the floor. I was out for 5 hours. Such a presence of the Lord. The next morning I went into that same room because I had a Bible, I had a prayer meeting in that, my little group met in that room. And so as I was first there, and as I went into the room, I opened the door, and all of a sudden I felt this tangible presence. I thought, and I suddenly that scripture came, the train of the Lord, his train filled the temple, and I could feel this thing in my hand. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. And I stood there and said, good morning, God. You're still here. You've not left us, have you? People of God. We need to begin to sense, to feel that presence and power of God in these coming days. Even more so. Our nation is a great pinnacle point of its journey. Our nation is called to carry the gospel. Those of you that come into this country, you're called here for a reason. And that is not just to have a good life. That's an added blessing. You're called with a purpose to reach out to the lost, to win lives to Christ, to see people healed, to see signs, wonders, miracles done through the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Everyone is called to that. Every one of us needs to be in a work, in a church that is empowering us, building, causing us to move forward. You know, out as teams, when we go out on the mission field, we go out, we take a team, we see signs, wonders and miracles, we see I'm good at flattening batteries. Glory to God. Some say you go on too long. I wasn't going to preach long today, but I've just got this burden on my heart and I need to empty it today. By his stripes we're healed. And God wants to move in our lives in such a way. He wants you to move in that dimension. Amen. This is not for church leadership. Right? It is a body ministry. Each and every one of us is called. Some of us are called to preach and to teach and to encourage. Some of us are called to the prophetic. Some are called to the apostolic. But each and every one of us is called to be about Father's business. To be about the work of the kingdom. Even Jesus at 12 years old said, I must be about my Father's business. You should have known where I was going to be. In church. So we need to be about Father's business. Whatever you do, do not try and sit on the fence. Don't try and sit on the fence. Get as far away from the fence as possible and get into the very presence of the Almighty God. Sitting on the fence means you're rebelling. That's what it means, really. You're neither something or nothing. You're neither here, you're neither there. And you're an easy catch to the enemy. Don't get on a fence. Get into the presence. Deal with your feelings. Deal with your emotions. Take them to the cross and let them be crucified. And let Christ be first in our lives. And when Christ is first in our lives, then everything else will be sorted. The cross should be the center of all that we believe and stand for. The cross is that separates you and I from death. The cross is that which brings us into eternal life. The cross is that which empowers us to stand and preach the word of God. The cross is that which empowers us to minister healing and life to those outside in great need. It is Jesus that needs to be the very center of our lives, that we know the power and the presence of Him in our lives. You see, if you sit on the fence and you think, well, I'm just going to have some short time pleasures, I'm just going to have a little bit of this of the world and a little bit of that of the world, you know, it'll not poison me. It will. The tiniest amount of poison will have an effect. How much of the devil do you need? Not a lot before you're lost. You need Jesus 100%. Jesus needs you to know that. He wants you to be separated, sanctified, made holy, because He's looking for holy vessels, so that through holy vessels He can flow. Through holy vessels He can minister life. Through holy vessels He can touch the lost. He can touch those that are in need and that are wounded. Through holy vessels, clean vessels, holy vessels, sanctified in service to Him. The world will give you a short-term kick, you know, the dopamines in your life that just give you that boost and that high. Well, let me tell you this, when you come to Jesus, there's nothing as high as knowing the move of the Spirit of God in the life. There's nothing as high as seeing the Spirit of God move and blessing and touching people's lives. And you'll never, never, never get enough of that. And you'll never, never want to let go of that. Because it is such a powerful thing. It is such a thing that has a purpose and a desire to change people's lives and to bring people into the kingdom of God. Through Christ we have eternal pleasures. Through the world, our pleasures just last for a moment. That's all they last for. They only last for a moment. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And this living in Christ, you see, it's living, not existing. So many people in today are saying, oh, we're just existing. We're just getting by. And there are Christians who are just getting by. That is not how it should be. There should be an abundance in our lives. He said, I'm giving to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Is that not abundance? That is my understanding of abundance, that my container can't contain it. I've got such an abundance, it's running over. So I better start emptying some of it and give it to somebody else. You know? And my experience has been that as I've given to God and I've served God, that He's always given back, pressed down, shaken together and running over. I'm saying, God, hang on a minute, I can't cope with all of this. Whoa, slow down, God, I just can't deal with it yet. But that's what God wants to do. And people say, oh, well, I don't believe that. Well, I'm telling you. That's what the Word says. God is not governed by social services. God is not governed by governments and men in power. He governs them. But the time is for us as a nation to begin to pray and to come back to God. The time for the church to begin to move in power. Time for the church to take its authority, realize its authority, realize the power that is invested within us. For by His stripes we're healed spiritually, emotionally, physically. We're being empowered for the work of the kingdom. We're to catch hold of what He's doing. We are to begin to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Hello. And that still small voice. Sometimes we talk about praise and worship, and there's that much noise going on that if God wants to get a word in church, some of these churches, there's going to have to be a power failure. He's going to have to switch everything off because the music's so loud. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy praise and worship. I enjoy praising God. I enjoy dancing before the Lord. David danced before the Lord. Let me tell you this, he heard the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. And today, you've got to ask yourself, am I hearing the voice of God? Am I hearing the voice of God?
If you're not hearing, then you better put some time on one side to begin to listen. Because he wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear his voice. He wants you to know him. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Yeah. And he's going to speak this way, that way, this one. And ministering life into people. And you know, he wants you to realize that he's going to bring you before people who are ripe and ready for salvation. Time's short. Time's short. God wants you to be able to just get to somebody and say, you know, you meet up with them and suddenly they're ready. You speak to them about Jesus and say, I want that. I want that. How did you know? Because the Spirit pointed me to you. The Spirit pointed me. Lead them to Christ. Stick them in a good church. Hallelujah. And let God do a work in their lives. Let them know the power of God just flowing through them. Are we going to allow our feelings to deceive us? Are we going to allow our thinking to deceive us? Or are we going to let this book, breathed upon by the Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, and direct us? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Seeking the kingdom of God, seeking the Christ, it is about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not about for rewards, but it is about that loving relationship. We have it up there. God is love. The people outside need to know that God loves them. The only thing now and again people forget is love. Sometimes has to just check you, pull you up, correct you. You know, don't you? Yeah, I know you know. She's my living example, you see, bless her. And that's sometimes what we do, we run away when God wants to deal with us. We run away. But guess what? We have to come back. Because it's the only way. It's the only way forward. Isn't it? Yeah. Come on. Come on. And then God simply does this. He picks us up. Cradles us in his arms. And says, I love you. I love you. And then we're safe. And we're hearing the voice of God. And it's all because Jesus gave his life for each and every one of us. And that by his stripes, we are healed. Amen. By his stripes, we are healed. And right now, if there's anybody in need of prayer, or just going to open the front up for prayer, ministry, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say prayer, that's wrong, for healing, because I don't believe we just pray. I believe we act and bring healing. It's about healing. So if you need healing right now, then just come out, and the presence and the power of God is going to do a great work.